Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. Welcome back to the Frun Family Shir, hosted by Sha'arei. Without Hashem's name, Baruch Shachianu v'Kiyamanu v'Giyanu l'Zman Hazeh. We're actually learning live from Congregation Sha'arei Tefila in Lawrence, New York. So it's very nice to be back with everybody. We thank the Frun family for their continued dedication to the Harbatzos HaTorah that emanates from the Shir as an Ilui Neshama from Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashalom. Miriam Neshama have a continuous Aliyah on the Schus of the Torah we'll share. The number of brave souls who came to join us in person, as well as the those who are joining us on Zoom this evening. So last time, I know I had some issues with Zoom, but someone reached out to me, someone from this year actually, who's usually lives a distance away, Joanna, and she said there were a lot of problems with Zoom last week, Wednesday night. She knew of many different shiurim that were having trouble, so it just made me feel a little bit better. Not that I want other shiurim to have trouble connecting, but just that imo anochi b'tzara. So, but it was also the impetus for us to return to in-person learning, so it's a very nice chus to see those of you here who decided to come join in person. Last time we had a very important shiur. If you missed it in person, please listen online. It was really the resolution to a few months of trying very hard to understand how could something be good if we see it as bad? How could we say tzadik v'ralo? Is there any ra in this world? Is everything good in this world? If everything is good in this world, how could we say that there's bad? So if you missed shiur last week, you must go back. It's extremely important that you listen to that shiur. And now we will move forward. So we are on page 241 of the second sefer. For those who have it in front of them, I will be, of course, reading from the Sefer and commentary tonight. So on page 241, the subheading, we're still in the chapter, Removing Obstacles to Conditional Love. Taste and see that Hashem is good. So that is a pasuk from Tehillim, Ta'amu uru'u ki tov Hashem. Taste, ta'amu uru'u, and see ki tov Hashem. A person can't know how something a taste, how something feels, how something is, unless you actually see that item in front of your eyes. It's interesting. It reminds me of this week's parasha and the fruit that the spies brought back, fruit, and showed the people. You could describe that the fruit is enormous, but unless you see it in front of your eyes, it doesn't. Unless you taste it with your own senses, you can't perceive of what it is. I learned this year a fascinating Baal Turim that I never knew before. It's just unbelievable. I'm actually going to quote the exact lashon of the Baal Turim for you so that you, it's incredible. The last pasuk of Perek Yud Gimel in Parsha Shlach tells us, "V'sham ra'inu es ha'nefilim b'nei anak min ha'nefilim," and there we saw the giants, the sons of giants. "V'anihi be'einenu kechagavim," we were in their eyes like grasshoppers. "V'kein ha'inu be'einehem," and so we were in our eyes like grass, in our eyes like grasshoppers, and so we were in their eyes. And the Baal Turim says something unbelievable. I was learning an essay yesterday by Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, zichrona levracha, and he referenced this Baal Turim, and I went to look up the Baal Turim. I don't know, maybe you've heard this before. I never heard this. The Baal Turim quotes a Medrash. The Medrash. Sha'an, what does it mean? They were huge giants and we were like grasshoppers in our eyes and in their eyes. Sha'anak echad achal rimon. One giant ate a pomegranate. Vizarak haklipa. Klipa is the shell. It's a very Kabbalistic term. The klipa is the exterior and the interior are the sparks. Sha'anak achad achal rimon. One giant ate a pomegranate. Vizarak haklipa. He threw away the exterior, the shell, after he ate the fruit. V'chol yud beis miraglim nichnasu leishei betocha. And all 12, you could go look this up. It's a Baal term. It's a parak yud gimel, pasuk lam and gimel. It's unbelievable. V'chol yud beis miraglim nichnasu leishei betocha. And all 12 spies were able to sit in the klipa, the empty exterior of the rimon, of the pomegranate, mipnei hatzel, because it gave them shade. So that's what it means that there were giants in the land. So we say this story all the time, there were giants in the land. What does it really mean? They were so huge that when he finished his rimon and he threw the shell, all 12 were able to sit inside. V'yashveha kechagavim. And they were sitting inside like grasshoppers. They were sitting inside like grasshoppers. You know, sometimes your fruit could be infested with bugs. Yeah, it happens. There are certain fruits and vegetables we can't eat because they're infested with bugs. So taka, you could buy, I don't know, not meat, but whatever, broccoli, and you might find a green worm in that broccoli. So who were the little worms sitting in the pomegranate shell? That's what it means, that they were such huge giants. and we were an aris like grasshoppers and an aris like grasshoppers. I thought that that was just an incredible bow term. So why did I bring that up at all? Because I think it's amazing, and I learned it yesterday and today, but the subheading is taste and see that Hashem is good. So they brought back fruit, and they said, v'zeh piria, this is the fruit of the land. You could describe the fruit, but if you actually see the fruit, you understand how enormous the fruit is. You have to taste something firsthand to understand what it means. Okay. Taste and see that Hashem is good. Awareness of the soul. So now we're on page 241. We will give another example so that the thought we are trying to transmit will become clear. The Gemara says, and the quote is from Maseches Ksuvos and Maseches Gittin, the Gemara says, a slave prefers promiscuity. A slave, an Eved, prefers promiscuity. He would rather be a slave and be permitted to live with a maidservant. He would rather be a slave and be permitted to live with a maidservant than to have the responsibility of a free man and not be allowed to live with one. So he would rather be a slave, and this is what the Gemara says, the slave prefers promiscuity, which means he would rather remain a slave and be permitted to live with the maidservant than he doesn't want the responsibility. Being a free man, you might be free, but if you're truly free, it comes along with a lot of achrayus, a lot of responsibility. And it's sometimes easier to just be the slave and remain the slave than have the responsibility of a free man and not be allowed to live with one, okay? It is clear that if he would leave this world as a slave, his spiritual level and closest to Hashem in the next world will be much lower than as a free, full-fledged Jew. So in other words, he doesn't see the bigger picture. He doesn't see the Olam HaEmes. He's just focusing on down here. It's just easier not to have any achrayus. It's easier not to have any responsibility. The master tells me exactly what to do, when to wake up, where to go. I'm potter from mitzvahs asher shmel zman graman, and I can't be a dayan. I can't be a witness, and I don't have to worry about mitzvahs, time-bound positive mitzvahs. I'm not allowed to get married under kedushin, so it's a great life. I could just basically be free of responsibility while I'm a slave to my master. And if you would tell him you will leave this world as a slave, and then your spiritual level in the next world, in the Olam HaNeshamos, will be much lower than if you were a free, full-fledged Jew. What then is better for the slave? What's better? To become free and to become a Jew. You give him a choice. Do you want to become free? And what does he think? He wants to remain a slave. So this, again, everything is framed for me within the reference of Torah. As I'll say at the end of Perkei Avos, turn the Torah over and over. Everything is in the Torah. It's very, very interesting. This is really echoed in these week's Parshios. So first of all, before I go to the Parshios, Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky Zatzal tells over in one of his 90 books, it's called The Rabbi and the Nuns, he tells over that his mother used to tell him, this is a bedtime story of all things, but that there was a man who was very poor, and he always wished that he could improve his monetary station in life. So one day he woke up, and there was a miracle. There was a little purse, a little wallet in his house, and he found the wallet, and he was so excited, and he opens it, and there's a dollar bill. So he pulls out the dollar bill, and miraculously, another dollar bill appears. And he pulls out that dollar bill, and another dollar bill appears. And he pulls out another dollar bill, and another dollar bill appears. And now he's rich, and his problems are over. Every time he pulls out, the Rabbi Dr. Twersky tells us over, and the Rabbi and the Nuns, every time a dollar bill comes out, another one takes its place. He was so excited, but after 3 days, he was found dead on a huge pile of dollar bills. So this is a person who was Meshubat. He was enslaved as well. What was he enslaved to? He was enslaved to Gashmias. He was enslaved to money. He was enslaved to the idea that materialism can fill a need. He just pulled out more and more and more and more dollar bills till he didn't take care of any of his other needs, not eating, not using the facilities, not warmth, not cold. He just pulled out dollar bills. So in this case, he was enslaved. I heard Rabbi Zev Lefshlita from Moshav Matityahu say something so interesting that I never considered before. Names in Tanakh are very relevant. Names in Chumash and Tanakh have a lot of significance. Eliphaz was the grandson of Amalek. Okay. Amalek, Timnah, Eliphaz. Eliphaz was the grandson of Amalek who chased Yaakov to the well and who took away all his money. What's wrong? I'm saying it backwards. I'm saying it totally backwards. Thank you for giving me that face. I'm totally wrong. Esav had Eliphaz. Eliphaz had Amalek. Thank you. It was wrong. Thank you. Esav had a son named Eliphaz. Eliphaz had a son named Amalek. Whatever I said was wrong. Scratch that. Amalek is a grandson of Esav through his son Eliphaz. Thank you. Eliphaz is the one who caught up with Yaakov at the well, and he said, my father wants me to kill you. What should I do? He didn't want to kill him. He was running away from Esav. So Yaakov said, take all my money. An ani is nechshav kames. A poor person is considered like a dead person. Take all my money. You could go home and you could tell your father that I'm dead. So Rabbi Zevlev pointed out, paz, pei zayin, is gold. It's in Tehillim. Umi paz rav. I think it's in chapter 19 of Tehillim. Paz is gold. Eli paz, my God is gold. Eli paz, my God is gold. So for some people, they are enslaved to money. Some people are enslaved to food. Some people are enslaved to commerce. Some people are enslaved to fashion. Some people are enslaved to any other things that we become enslaved to. And sometimes it's easier to just remain a slave than to take ourselves out. So I'm going off the pshat here. The pshat is that the slave wants to remain a slave. He refers, promise, yeah.
It's always easier to remain a slave.
So that's exactly what the Mechaber is saying. That's what Chazal say. It's just easier. That's what I'm saying. It's easier to remain a slave, even though the end result is the freedom is so much better if you can achieve it. Oh, okay. So my second mistake. It's easier to remain a slave, whether it's to money or to food or to finance or to society or to Hollywood or to fashion or to gashmis or to the dollar bills that keep coming out of your wallet or to all the money you could take from Yaakov Avinu, your uncle, and then tell fire your dad, Eli Paz. Beautiful. Okay, so we're slaves to certain mentality as well. So the Mechaber here quotes the Gemara. A slave prefers promiscuity. He would rather be a slave and be permitted to live with a maidservant substitute, be permitted to live with his money, permitted to live with his fashion, whatever it is. You don't want to, freedom, really keeping the halachos and the mitzvahs of Torah gives us freedom, even though there's confines and there's restrictions, there's what's permitted, there's what's not permitted. Then he doesn't want the responsibility of a free man. It's clear that if you leave this world as a slave, whatever you are enslaved to, I'm going off the pshat, whether it's as an Eved Knani or an Eved Ivri, well, I'm not talking about anymore if you're an actual slave. It's clear that if you leave this world as a slave, your spiritual level and closest to God in the next world is lower than if you were a free Jew. So if you spend your whole life worshiping money and your whole life worshiping fashion and your whole life worshiping, I don't know, NBA stars, so your level in the next world is not going to be the same as someone who freed themselves from their shackles of slavery. So what is really better for the slave? Certainly to be free and to become a true Jew, to feel, not that you're not Jewish the other way, but you're enslaved to something. Or neshamas become enslaved to so many things in society. What does he think he wants to remain a slave? Even if you sit with him for days and explain it's so good to be a Jew, he would not help at all. You can't motivate somebody else. So that's the story Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, and it relates very much to Rabbi Zev Lev of Moshat Matisyahu, who explains about Eliphaz, and you're 100% correct. It's Ezov Eliphaz Amalek, and it's a worship of gold, or substitute, whatever the worship is. We want to remain slaves. So it reminds me very, very much of this week's Parshios, Bahaloscha and Shlach. This idea that it's easier to sometimes just remain a slave than to free yourself of the shackles, because freedom comes along with responsibility and achrayas to Hashem. Last week's parasha is Parashas Baha Aloscha. Hello. Do you want to join our shir? Does she want to join our shir? Would you like to join shir? You're welcome to come. She's not sure. Okay. So Perek Yud Aleph in Bamidbar, Vayihi ha'am kimis onanim ra ba'oznei Hashem, the people were like those seeking pretext in the ears of Hashem, talking about words and shor Hashem. Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch points out, mis onanim is like the word onin. Onin is a mourner. It's brilliant pshat. Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch and Chumash, kimis onanim ra ba'oznei Hashem, they were mourning for their terrible fate. God took them out, and the cucumbers and the melon and the fish, everything was so wonderful in Egypt. As Rav Hirsch, they're mourning for themselves. They were like an onain, a mourner. But Oznei Hashem, in the ears of God, they're complaining, and God heard, and he's very angry, and a fire burned, and it ate at the edges of the camp. And the people scream out to Moshe, and what does Moshe do? And Moshe davens to Hashem, and the fire subsided, and they call that place Taveir. Come closer. Come closer. What's your name?
Vicki Goldstein.
Welcome. So a fire burned and it ate at the edges of the camp, and the people call out to Moshe, and Moshe davens to Hashem, and the fire subsided. And they call that place Tav'era because the fire of God burned against the people. Next complaint, V'ha'esafsuf asher b'kirbo hisavu taiva. The rabble-rousers in their midst desired a desire. And they sit down and the B'nai Yisrael start crying, and what do they say? Who will give us meat? Z'acharnu es hadaga shanochal b'mitzrayim chinam. Oh, what are they talking about? What were they in Egypt? Avadim hayinu l'par mitzrayim. It was so good in Egypt. Sometimes a slave mentality is just that it's easier to remain a slave. Why is it so hard to change? Why is it so hard for someone to embark on an exercise program and stick with it? No, I'm not making a joke. I'm giving examples. To go... What?
Because it's not instantaneous. It takes a long time. It takes a very long time.
I know. Yeah. So sometimes it's just easier to remain in the pattern. And I don't want to change.
Yeah.
Because it takes so much self-restraint and inner kochos to change a whole life. We all know the famous mamar is quoted by Rav Yisrael Salanter. It's easier to learn through Shas. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I never learned through Shas. It's not on my to-do list. But it's easier to learn through Shas than to change a single midah. Because when you're enslaved to something, it's just let it go. And oh, you could sit with the person and explain from today till tomorrow. You know, it's better for you in the next world if you leave the shackles of slavery. And people just say, I can't. I just don't have the kochos, yeah?
People are also... Some people have a fear of success because if you say to yourself, well, you know, like an example to think, let's say if a person weighs, this is drastic, but a person weighs 400 pounds and the doctor says, you know, you really have to do something because your health is at risk, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's what he knows, you know, he knows this, and it's like, okay, so that's who I am. But if he suddenly lost 400 pounds, embarked on an exercise program, healthy eating, it could be like, well, now what? Well, what am I going to do now? It's changing my whole identity.
So if Salvechik says the key ingredient for change is courage, it takes great courage to change. A person needs courage and belief in themselves. And the problem is that we lack it. So what happens? Sometimes we lack it. So the people sit and they cry and they say, who will give us meat? And right away, what do they start talking about? Egypt. You're talking about Egypt? You were slaves. You just left Egypt a year and a few days ago. It was so good for you in Egypt, where they were throwing the baby boys into the river and they were whipping your backs and they were breaking the necks of the baby boys on the birthing stone. If it's a boy, kill him the minute the baby comes out of the mother. Wow, we remember the fish that we ate in Egypt for free. Rashi says, what do you mean for free? China min hamitzvos. They were slaves to Paro, but they didn't have to worry about answering to God. And answering to God means also answering to your neshama. Remember the fish that we ate in Egypt for free? As hakishuim, the cucumbers were so good in Egypt. Ve'es ha'avatichim, and the melons. As hachatzir, the leeks. As habitzalim, batzalis, onions. As hashumim, and the garlic, and now our souls are dried up, we're sick, we have nothing except for the man. So as soon as things start to go bad, what do the people immediately reminisce and talk about? It was so good in Egypt. We were slaves in Egypt, but where do they want to go back to? Egypt. That's last week's parsha. This week's parsha, Parsha Shlach, it's unbelievable. The spies come back, and they say, you know, it's really not so good in Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to be able to make it there, you can't live there. And immediately, what do the people do? Immediately. They all start crying, that night is Tisha B'Av. Vayilonu al Moshe val Aaron kol b'nei Yisrael. The entire b'nei Yisrael complain against Moshe and Aaron. Vayomru aleihem perik yudal the beginning, and they say kol eida lu masnu beretz Mitzrayim o b'midbar zeh lu masnu. Once again, what are they talking about? They sense a little bit of freedom, a little bit of change. You're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's the fifth Lashon Geula. Vehivesi eskem al arts asher nasasi es yodil aseislahem. You're about to go into Eretz Yisrael, and what are they saying? It was so good in Egypt. And then they say, Beferush, the Lama Hashem mevio sanu el haaretz hazos. Why is God bringing us to this land? Linpol b'cherev? We're all going to die in sword. Remember how big the giants were, that 12 people could fit into the klipa of the rimon, the shell of the pomegranate. We're all going to die. Why is God bringing us to this land? We're going to die by sword. Nashenu v'tapenu, our women and our children will become captive. Hello, Tov lanu shuv Mitzrayimah. You were slaves in Egypt. It was terrible. Vayimaru es chayim b'avoda kasha b'chomer uvelaveinim uvechol avoda asher avdu b'hem b'farach. They embittered their lives. We mar at the Seder to remember their lives. We charosis to remember the bricks. We carbos in salty water to remember the tears. You liked it there? It was good for you there? Nasheinu v'tapenu yulavaz halo tov lanu shuv Mitzrayimah. It is clear if he will leave this world as a slave, his spiritual level and closest to Hashem in the next world will be much lower. What really is better for the slave to become free? Why does he think he wants to remain a slave? If you would sit with him for days and explain it's good to be Jewish, it won't help. So he sits over the dollar bills and he pulls out $1 after another and he becomes meshubah to the dollar bills. And then they say, Beferush, Vayomru ish al achiv, and one man says to his brother, Nitna rosh v'nashuva Mitzrayim. First they say, would that we have died in Egypt. And then they say, it's better for us to return to Egypt. And then they get together. And what do they say? Nitna rosh v'nashuva Mitzrayim. Let's go back to Egypt. And we sit down, Leil Seder, and we say, Avadi mayinu, lepar b'mitzrayim, v'yotzienu sham misham, b'yerech hazako, v'zroa netuya, v'yulotzi, kosh baruch hos, v'senu, v'yit anu, v'neinu, v'nei, v'neinu, mishubadi, mayinu, lepar b'mitzrayim. But what do the Jews say every time something goes wrong in the desert? Every time they have a little bit of a challenge, a little bit of a challenge. You have to eat man instead of the food, you know, a little bit of a challenge. It's so hard to change. You have to eat salad instead of pizza and linguine and, I don't know, mushroom cream sauce. It was so much better in Mitzrayim. It was so much better in Mitzrayim. That's where you were dying to go out from. It was better in Mitzrayim. Vayomru ish al achiv nitna rosh v'neshuva Mitzrayim. Furthermore, by Kriyas Yamsuf, it's Shvi shel Pesach. They just left Egypt. Kriyas Yamsuf. So what happens? Paro changes his mind. And how could I let my servants go? It was a bad idea to let my servants go. And they run after them. It's the seventh day of Pesach, and they catch up with them by the sea. Vayirdufu Mitzrayim Echareim, I went to Perek Yudalad, Beshalach, Shemos, and Mitzrayim ran after them. Vayesigu Osem Choni Malayam, they catch up with them in camp by the sea. Kol Sus Rechav Paru Farashav, oh my gosh, it's the whole army of Pharaoh. His horses, his riders, his chariots, they're all there, whatever's left from the Makos. Al Pi Achirus Lefnei Baal Tzifon, that's where they're encamped. Uparu he Kriv, Rashi says he brought himself close. The children of Israel lift their eyes, and behold, Egypt is traveling after them. And they're very afraid. And they call out to Hashem. Targum Unkus does not say that they daven. Targum Unkus just says they screamed. So it's a machokas if they were davening. Or Rashi says they took the craft of their forefathers. Unkus does not hold that they actually daven. Sometimes you just scream. So they're screaming. So what do they say? They don't say Hashem split this. They just saw the 10 Makos. Hashem could do whatever he wants. Instead of saying, save us, what do they say? We told you it was better to be in Egypt. Leave us alone. We'd rather be slaves. It's literally what they say. I would rather eat the linguine and pizza, even if I have diabetes, and even if my blood sugar rises, and even if I can't walk. It's just easier. It's so hard to change. I'd rather just stay the way I always am, physically, spiritually. I just want to be a slave. I went today. My cousins were in town a few weeks ago from Canada. Everything shut down there. The kids aren't in school, Zoom. Anyway, so they came for a number of weeks. So they were staying at my parents' house in Atlantic Beach. They went from to one sibling in Baltimore, another sibling in New Jersey, Shabbos by my brother-in-law, another first cousin, sometime in AB, whatever. So he forgot, my first cousin's husband forgot his talis, apparently, in AB's Atlantic Beach, my parents' house. So after the novus today, I had to go do a few things in the house for my parents wanted me to check, fine. And then my cousin texted me, Jeff forgot his talis bag. Please, can you get it for us? And we'll figure out how to get back, fine. So I went in to get it, and I was sitting by the front door, on the bench by the front door. I was just so inspired. I almost had tears in my eyes. I think I did it. They're wonderful, my cousin and husband, wonderful, wonderful people. And I was in the, he's a chozer b'teshuva, a little later in life. I say it in the most complimentary way, B'makom shabai teshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim omdim. We're understanding a little bit today why. The Gemara says that in the place where the repentant stand, the completely righteous can't stand because it's so hard to change. He's a chozer b'teshuva through Eish HaTorah Toronto. They have a beautiful family container. So I was in his tallest bag. Okay, he's tallest. His sitter, Chumash of Ayikwa, because they were here then. Megillus Rus, commentary of Rav Shamshon Falhirsch, because they were here then. And a Gemara. He doesn't have a test. He's not in school. It's not because he's a Magid Shir, anyone's breathing over him. What does a person want? This is an example of a person. I should be such a Chozer B'Teshuvah. Of a person who can change their life. It's incredible. I told my family, they said, whose talis back is this? I said, Jeff left it here, I have to send it, whatever, to Sajjah. It's so amazing, but how hard is it to change even one midah? It's just easier to be a slave. And the Egyptians are right there, and what do they say? What do they say? One second. Vayomru al Moshe, hamibli ein kvarim b'mitzrayim. Are there not enough graves in Egypt? Lakachtanu lamus b'midbar. You had to take us to die in the desert. Mazos asisolanu. What did you do? Lahotzi anu b'mitzrayim. Why did you take us out of Egypt? It's much easier to remain complacent. Oh yeah, in the Olam Hanashamos, it'll be better for me in the next world if I actually change my life. But who could think of the Olam Hanashamos when I'm here? Haloza hadavar sher dibarnu eilacha. Listen what they say next. This is 7 days after leaving Egypt. Halo zeh hadavar sher dibarnu eilecha b'mitzrayim lemer. Isn't this what we told you in Egypt, Moshe, saying, chadal mimenu v'na'avda es mitzrayim. Leave us alone. We would rather be slaves to Egypt. You could go look this up. It's Perek Yudalet. I began in Pasuk Tes. I'm now in Pasuk Yudbeis in Shavos. Hallows, they say it exactly. They literally express it. We would rather be slaves. And by the way, what's Mitzrayim? They keep talking about Mitzrayim. We saw it in Baaloscha, we saw it in Shlach, and now we are seeing it back in Beshalach, in Shemos. Mitzrayim is straits, Bein HaMitzarim. Talking about words in Lashon HaKodesh that have significance. Bein HaMitzarim is between the straits. So what would they rather do? They would rather be stuck in the narrow place. They don't want the wide expanse of freedom because it's just easier. I can't hear.
They kept doing this over and over, all through the Midbar.
All through?
The Midbar.
Correct. Every time there's a problem, Mitzrayim is better.
Water, meat, whatever, but the same.
That's exactly right. It's constantly better. But you know what? The Torah only includes something that there's a lesson for us. The Torah's not trying to talk Lashon Hara about the Dor HaMidbar. Something that is relevant for generations is included in the canon, in the biblical canon, and what is not relevant for generations is not included. A lot of things happen in the desert that we don't know about. So it's not like the Torah is going out of its way to talk Lashon Hara about the Jews. It's telling us something about human nature and human personality. And that is, it's clear that if you leave this world as a slave, your spiritual standing in Olam Haba is not going to be so good. But nevertheless, he wants to remain a slave. You could sit with him for days and explains why it's healthier to eat more salad and to eat whole wheat and to cut out the fattening cheese and to reduce your sugar, and it won't help. You could explain that, you know, you'll really feel better if you start going to a shir. Maybe carry a Megillus Rus in your talis bag when you go to shul instead of talking things about you shouldn't be talking about. I just don't have the koach. It's just not worth it. Maybe take a half a dar a day shmir salashon. Half an hour. I don't expect it. I just can't. It's not even worth it. I know I'll be nichshal. I know I'll fail. I'm not even going to try. Every time they run into a little bit of facing change, it was so good in Egypt. And they say, Beferush, Halozah Hadavar Sher Dibarnu Eidacha, isn't this what we spoke to you? B'mitzrayim Lemer, Chadal Mimenu, V'na'avda Es Mitzrayim, Ki Tov Lanu Avod Es Mitzrayim, Mimuseinu B'midbar. They express that. Leave us alone. We would rather be Avadim to Mitzrayim. It is better for us to serve Egypt than to die in the desert.
The known rather than the unknown.
What?
The known rather than the unknown.
Yeah. Is that your father? There's 28 people on Zoom. Okay. Sure, chas v'shalom feel bad. Parshas Chukas. I didn't look this one up when I was preparing Shir. I looked up Baaloscha, Shlach, and Beshalach. But I think in Chukas, by the water, by Mei Meriva, I'm going to check. When Moshe strikes the rock. I could be wrong, so I said I didn't look up. Yeah, Chukas, by the rock. Lama ha'elisunu mimitzrayim. Why did you take us out of Egypt? their whole frame of reference is we would rather just be stuck in an old pattern. I'm now in Perichof of Bamidbar. What happens? The B'nai Israel come, the entire... By the way, this is even scarier, because in Perichof of Bamidbar, this is even scarier. What generation is this? The second generation. The first generation all died. They're finished. Miriam died. It's year 40. This is their children. It's not them anymore. Miriam dies. When Miriam dies, the well dries up. Miriam is Mayim. Every instance of her life, it's cool. It's another shir. Every time she's mentioned in the Chumash, whether in the Pshat or in Rashi, it has something to do with water. Every single time, including her sin in last week's parasha in Bahal Oscha. It's amazing. She has something to do with water. Every time she's mentioned. So, there's no water for the people. She died. That means there's no water. They gather in great strength against Moshe and Aaron, and they quarrel with Moshe, and they say, would that we have died in the death of our brothers before Hashem. Wow, that first generation was so lucky. They all died in the desert. Why did you bring us to this desert to die, us and our flocks? Why did you take us up from Egypt? To bring us to this terrible place. This is the second generation. Look how firmly entrenched our behaviors become. How difficult it is to extract ourselves from that pit of Mitzarim. To bring us to a bad place. It's not a place of seed. I don't see figs and grapes here. That's interesting. I just realized something. The three fruits they mention in Chukas in year 40 are the three fruits that the spies brought back in year 2. The spies brought grapes, pomegranate, fig from Eretz Yisrael. And now they complain. They say, well, this is not a place of fig. It's not a place of grapes. It's not a place of rimon. Umayim ein lishtotz. What do they say? Why did you take us out of Egypt? So in Egypt, you were slaves. In Egypt, you were Bein HaMitzarim, but it's so hard to leave a mentality, and it's so hard to leave Elipaz, the god of gold, and it's so hard to leave our addiction to food, and it's so hard to leave our addiction to bad midos. Sometimes you find a sarcastic person. It follows them their whole entire lives. Everything they say is with sarcasm, and we have an idea in our head that that's just better. Why is it better? Because it's easier. But it doesn't mean in the long run, one second, Shadi, it doesn't mean in the long run it's better. It means in the here and now it's better because I don't have to fight my Yetzer Hara. I was just looking up something in the Rav Steinman biography for a different shir. And I saw once again, they came to Rav Steinman and they said, who's your greatest Rebbe? And he said, for me, my greatest Rebbe is the Yetzer Hara, but I'm always trying to get rid of him. If we listened to him, he could really teach us. He could drive us on the right path if you're willing to fight the fight, if you're willing to fight the battle. Sometimes it's just easier to be meshubet than to the Yetzer Hara than to be the gibor. This week we're going to read Perek Gimel. Sometimes it's just easier to be the slave than to be the gibor hakol veishos yetzro. Sometimes it's just easier to remain enslaved than to be the 29. I just want to make sure you tell him so he doesn't think it's not a toalas chas v'sham. Sometimes it's just easier to remain enslaved than to be the mighty person who conquers the inclination. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily the same thought, but I also see it's a chinuch habanim. These children never were in Egypt.
You see?
Yeah.
It's chinuch habanim. The parents, this is how they taught their kids. These kids
very
were never
nice.
In Egypt. They didn't know what they were missing.
Very, very nice.
Almost like when the generation came here and they threw off and they said it's off. It's hard to keep jobs. And those kids never...
Very nice. Okay, so you bring up another very good point. Not only is it so entrenched in them, but when we live with something so firmly entrenched in our psyche and our behavior, how radically it affects, almost by osmosis, the next generation. The Gemara says right at the end of Maseches Sukkah, what a child speaks in the shuk is what the parents speak in the house. What a child speaks in the shuk is what they hear the parents speak. So if in the tent, the parent is constantly saying, I'm entrenched in this behavior and I can't leave, and it's better to be a slave. I brought you examples from four different parashios. Bishalach was 7 days after Egypt. Baha Aloscha, the cloud lifted up on the 20th of Iyar, on the second year. Shalach, Tisha B'Av. It's Tisha B'Av when they say this in the year and a half after Egypt. And even in Chukas, and you saw the Pesukim B'Ferish, you could go look them up for themselves. Even in Chukas, what are they saying? Why do we leave Egypt? And you bring up a fantastic point, that is the second generation. So look at the power of Chinuch HaBonim. Everything we say, the way we live, the things that we do, it's constantly influencing our children. So not only do we risk becoming stuck in a certain pattern, but it's a very real danger that we risk our children becoming stuck in that pattern. Sometimes we're also addicted not only to mentalities, elipas, not only to money, not only to food, kishuim, avatichim, batzal, shum, zacharnu esadaga, shenochal b'mitzrayim chinam. It's a godless mentality. And it's just hard to extract ourselves from. That's Mitzrayim. It was the first national godless. Mitzarim, you're between the streets. Sometimes it's so hard to extract yourself from a godless mentality. It's just easier. And I heard something, so I learned that, this is a new shiur, a couple of the new things that put together, brand new shiur, I never presented it anywhere. It was all based on the fact that the Mechaber, the author, says it's better to be a slave, and it's very powerful in light of the path of the Jews in the desert. I'm not blaming them, because I think it's a comment on us and who we are. And I think that the Torah includes it to teach us. How hard is it to change your midos? How hard is it in school to be kind to the one girl that no one wants to be kind to? It's really hard. It's hard to take a stand. It's hard to stand up and say, sit with me at the table when no one's nice to that child. It's hard to be a gibor. Sometimes it's just easier to be a slave. I'm saying sometimes, because for some, it's not true that it's always. For some people, the giants amongst us, they are able to change. But darach klal, for the amonim, it's very hard, but change is possible. So I don't want to say it's always easier to remain a slave. I don't think that's correct. My cousin's husband, I mean, I was so inspired. It's just a regular Jew's Talisbeck. And it's not for show, and it's not for an exam, and it's not for deer shoe. It's just because he wants his sitter for prayer. He wants his chumash Torah Shevachtav. He wants his Gemara Torah Shabbat. And he wants Megillas Rus, because I want to know the insights of what we're reading on Shavuos. This is a person who did not grow up Orthodox, who was orphaned of his father at a very, very young age. His mother raised two boys as an almana, two young orphans, and he found Eisha Torah, and he found his neshama, and he changed his whole life. And it's an amazing, I know you love Eisha Torah, and it's an amazing thing. I know. I remember the picture of you in Israel in front of the Eisha Torah building, and it takes such courage. Halavai, I should be. So what we're enslaved to really is the Galus mentality. It's so hard in exile to find the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's such a Mechitzas HaBarzel, Maseches Brachos 32b, Lamed Beis, Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Beferush, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there is a iron partition that separates us from our Father in heaven. And it's part of the condition of Galus. The story of Pasha Shlach and Chukas is banishment from Eretz Yisrael. Shlach, the Jews were banished from Eretz Yisrael. Chukas, Moshe is banished from Eretz Yisrael. And when we're banished, it's not only in a physical sense, it's also in a spiritual sense. And it's part of a tremendous avoda to recognize, to see the bigger picture. So I learned that about the Chagavim and the Rimon, the Baal term. I thought that this was just an incredible Baal term. Wow. Give you an idea of how big the giants really were and how big the fruits really were. It's not just that they were big fruits. 12 men could get shade from the klipa of a rimon, the peel of a rimon. So something else that I heard new for the first time, I was listening to Shir by Shai Schechter, my fast walk this morning. It was almost like the last 6 minutes of the shir. And I'm glad I left it on because of this final insight that I never heard. I don't know how I never heard it or why I never knew it. I think it relates to our shir very, very much. He was talking about the Jews in the time of Achashverosh. That was another galus, Megillas Esther, Parsum Madai. It was also a galus. And we know that the first pasuk of the Megillah tells us, "Vayhi b'yimei Achashverosh." It wasn't the days of Achashverosh. Who Achashverosh? He was Achashverosh. Hamolech mehodu v'ad Kush. He ruled from Hodu to Kush. Shava v'asrum me'a Medina. 127 provinces. And like Rabbi Schechter said, 127 provinces. B'kitzur, he ruled over the whole world. He was the leader, basically, of the whole world. 127 provinces. And he made a party, 180 days. Vashtiyah kedas, eino nes. He says, we tend to think of the Jews in the time of the story of Esther. Oy nabach, the poor Jews, they were being persecuted. No, in the beginning, it was very good for them. There's about 10 years from the beginning of the story to the time of the persecution. They all went to the party of the king. The Medrash says it beferish. I think it's Medrash Esther Rabbah 7:3, Parsha Zayin Simen Gimel. I've taught it before many times. Usually during Adar, I always end up quoting it. Salvechik has a piece on it. And 18,500 Jews went to the party, And they drank. Rabbi Schechter said they had a kosher kitchen in the White House for them. They had carving stations like we have carving stations. They had sushi bars and sashimi. It was wonderful. They were except sit down at a table, have a seat. It describes how beautiful the garden was. So we tend to think it was bad in that college. It wasn't bad in the beginning. It was very good for the Jews there. So he quoted the Gemara that says, I don't know how I never knew this, in all my years, I'm not saying that I know everything, I don't, but I've taught Megillas Esther in depth many a time, so I'm not sure. It was amazing. And I'm fascinated by words, and I mentioned names. In the beginning of Shir, I said that names in the Torah and Tanakh are very significant. Hamolech mehodu v'ad kush, shava v'esmu mea medina. Why is it called Hodu to Kush? So the Gemara says, Hodu is from the word Hod. Hod v'hadar lefanav. Hod is glory. Panaziva, panahoda, panahadar. Hod is glory. Kush, and he didn't say this, but I'm going to add it in. Kush is black, dark. He didn't say this, but it's very beferish. Last week's parsha, which we already mentioned, is in Baha'aloscha. Vatidaber Miriam v'aron perikid beis. Vatidaber Miriam v'aron. Al Moshe, al Odos b'Moshe, but to the bare mirror of Aaron b'Moshe, al Odos ha-Kushis, lakach ki isha kushis, lakach. Kush! And what does Rashi say? She was very dark, she was black. So there's different mafreshim. A Medrash says, Imamus went to the land of Kush and married a woman from Kush. That's a Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, and the Chumash says that. Okay, but Rashi, which is, we can't learn Chumash without Rashi. Rashi says she was black. Just like everyone is moda on a black person is black, everyone was moda that she was beautiful. That's what Rashi says. Kush means black. May hodu v'ad kush. The galus starts as hod. It's glory. It's wonderful. We're comfortable. They have our carving stations, our kosher kitchen. They don't want us to feel weird. Come in, have a seat, attend the party. We're comfortable. Everything's fine. And we become enslaved to that mentality as we've been exploring today's class, all based on the Chumash. You see, they couldn't leave Egypt. They just could not leave the mentality of Egypt. But how does Galus always end? May Hodu. It starts with the impression that it's glorious and wonderful here. The Ad Kush. What's Kush?
It's dark.
Dark. Black. Not in terms of a color black. In terms of Avram Avidu, what is he told in the Bris Bein Abasarim? Eima chesoch, eima chesecha gedola nofeles alav. V'hinei Hashem esh lavo, v'tzor deima nafal Avram, perik tesvav Bereishis. V'hinei eima chesecha gedola nofeles alav. He fell into a deep darkness, a deep sleep, and it was very dark, and it was more than dark, and it was very dark. And the Medrash says, eima chesecha gedola nofeles alav, represents the Arba Golios. Golos is dark. There was Bavel, Parasumada, Yavan, Robi. And he saw the darkness. And he was told, Ger Yezarecha Be'eretz Lo Lahem. Vavadim Vinu Osam Arba Me'oshana. Ger Yezarecha Be'eretz Lo Lahem. And we have difficulty extracting ourselves from a Golos mentality. And where do we see it? All the way back in the Chumash. I've given you five parshios. Bishalach, Bichukosai, Shlach, Chukas, different generations. Different years, four times in the Chumash. And then we went to Megillas Esther. 18,500 Jews went to the party of Achashverosh. And Mordechai said, don't go. May Hodu, it's wonderful for us here. We belong here. It's amazing. Why should I change? Why should I be a Chozer B'tshuva? Why should I shake on my whole life? I'd rather be a slave. Ali Paz. My God is gold. To whatever the mentality that I am enslaved to. It's just easier to stay there. Oh, in the Olam HaEmes, it's going to be better for me if I do another Shir. And the Olam HaEmes will be better for me if I stop talking Lashon Hara. And the Olam HaEmes will be better if I include the girl who's a little weird and no one wants to be friends with. I can't do it. Halo Hazdavar Asher Marnu. Isn't that what we told you? Leave us alone. Chadal Lanu. Tov Lanu Lashuv Mitzrayim. Nit Narosh V'Nashuva Mitzrayim. And the second generation, like Shani said, they imbibe their children by osmosis with that. Lama he'elisunu mimitzrayim. How difficult is it to be a giant, not who eats a huge pomegranate, to be a giant who even changes one midah, one mitzvah, one negative behavior, who manages to extract himself from Elipaz. My God is gold. Whether Meshubit to gold, or Hollywood, or fashion, or a psyche, or negative behaviors, we see how difficult it is. It is clear if you leave this world as a slave, your spiritual level and closest to Hashem in the next will be much lower. Certainly, it's better to be free. Even if you would sit with him for days and explain it's good to be Jewish, it won't help him at all. You must find the courage within. It takes such tremendous courage to leave the negative mentality, mitzarim, between the straits. To leave the idea that galus is hod, it's glorious, it's not glorious. And being a slave is not glorious. And being meshubba to anybody other than the Ribono Shel Olam is not glorious. What starts as hod inevitably will bring your ruination. And it will end as kush. As comfortable as it seems to stay stuck in your ways, and you could tell us this firsthand, it's so much more rewarding and ennobling and spiritually uplifting to take that leap, jump into the Yam Suf. Don't say, wow, we should have just stayed in Egypt. Believe in God and believe in yourself. I'm not giving you Musar, I'm giving myself Musar. It's here, it's in the Chumash, I'm bringing you the sources. And yeah, maybe it's easier, but ultimately, a Ben Olam Haba is someone who works his whole life to change that mentality from Hodu to Kush and realize that it's not Hod and Galus. It will always be Kush unless we can extract ourselves and partner with the Ribono Shel Olam to bring our freedom. Yes?
No, also it's just like amazing because we learn also Amen Horin Elamish Osek Hatama Torah. That
correct.
Torah is really freedom, and you can see there, I'd rather be a slave. I'd rather not have the onus and the
they say chinam in a mitzvah. Zacharnu es hadaga. That's exactly ties in. Chazal say in Pirkei Avos Perek Vav. Al tekri charus ala cherus. Don't read it engraved on the luchos. Don't read it engraved. Read it freedom. Because a free person is one who is osake in a life of Torah. That's the only freedom there is. And you're right. They don't want that. Because what does it say? We remember the fish. What were the fish? The fish weren't free. We are free from mitzvos. And being meshubbed to a life of God, godliness, that's the only true freedom that there is. So may the neshama of Miriam Fra and Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah Hasham, made a continuous aliyah in the schus of the Torah we share this evening. I thank everyone who came in person. I thank everyone who joined on Zoom. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we will see you next week. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Oh, 1 second. Very nice. Beautiful. Esther, 1 second. Ladies, 1 second. Okay, they're not listening to me. I want to say one thing. Someone posted a very nice comment. This adds a deeper understanding to the bracha of Shaloh Asani Oved. By thanking Hashem that we are not slaves, we're not only talking about physically that we're not slaves, but spiritually our goal is not slavery, our goal is freedom. Very nice, Esti. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much. Besoros Tovos. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everyone. Kol Tov.